Hello. I am Ivan Decker.
And my name is Peter Carlone.
And we are not scientists.
I think the only reason we're qualified to speak is because I, and I assume you, do not care who tells us that we shouldn't be talking about it.
Oh, it was one of those, like, after-school special type mysteries.
If I was a scientist, I would hate it.
Yeah.
Which one's yes?
Yeah, whichever one makes me seem smarter.
Hi there, ladies and gentlemen out there in Radio Land.
Gross.
If you're just tuning in, this is Science Us.
It is. Everyone is just tuning in. It's the beginning of the podcast.
Ivan, I will never not enjoy doing that joke. Oh, boy.
All right. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Welcome back. We missed you.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, who are just tuning in, my name is Peter.
I'm Ivan Decker.
Yeah. And I got something special for you today. I'm going to science you.
Good.
Okay. This one's going to be a little different.
All right. Okay? I'm excited.
This is science that we all should know, that we should already be on board with.
Or, yeah. Okay.
Okay. This isn't like some newfangled thing.
Yeah.
But
not even fangled.
It's not
even old-fangled.
It's not even fangled. It's not old-fangled. It's just
no fangling. I have a sign in my apartment that says no fangling.
No, it's right over there above his fireplace.
Yep. With a bunch of puppies near it. Not in it.
Yeah, not in the fireplace.
Not a monster.
They're just warming up.
Yeah.
It's the cold of the winter here in sunny Vancouver.
Yep.
Okay, here's the science. Oh, I keep squeaking my chair.
That's
sorry,
okay.
Viewers. The science is about... You might... What?
I paid extra for that chair squeak.
The science today is going to be about a myth that I think a lot of proper science has touched on it recently because it popped back up into popular culture, this myth. And so I'd like to just get it off my chest as well. This is our episode on this myth.
All right. And
ready?
The
myth is that human beings use only 10% of their brains. And that if we could somehow, this is the extended part of the myth, that if we could somehow, this is like the Scarlett Johansson movie, Lucy, part of the myth, that if we could somehow use more than 10%, oh boy, are we ever gonna just do some crazy stuff?
Yeah, we'll be like super, one day. It's one of those like,
yeah,
one day we'll do this and everything will be fine.
Yeah, it's one of those like, yeah, exactly. And it's like...
Because that's what humans do. They use 100% of their brain to just imagine what it would be like...
if we used 100% of our brain.
To use all of our brain.
And there's a bunch of... We'll just blaze through some science real quick and then we're just going to tear this apart.
Yeah.
Here's why that is bullshit. And why it needs to be done.
Yeah, why people need to stop saying it.
Let's start with that. Why do I think people need to stop saying it? I think people need to stop saying it because they use it as an excuse.
Yeah,
so
of course.
Like an excuse to do different things, an excuse to take drugs that they should. Look, I'm fine with taking drugs, but just don't be an idiot about
it. When it's like, you're killing brain cells. Like, whatever, I only use 10% of my brain.
Yeah. Yeah, or like...
Hey, your apartment is on fire.
No, I mostly spend time in the kitchen.
I only use 10% of my house.
I only use 10% of my house.
You can have the rest of it.
Yeah.
The other reason they use it is because like, yeah, I'm going to use these drugs because it like allows me to access more of my brain. It super doesn't. It's just poison.
Yeah.
But
releasing a bunch of chemicals that your brain...
Exactly. And not to say that I hate drugs. Like, do drugs if you want to, but don't be an asshole about it. Just be like, I do it because it feels great.
The higher, holier than thou.
Yeah.
Drugs are like, I've seen things you've never seen, man. Get out of here. I know. I released. Those chemicals are already in your brain.
I got to a
you
full...
You just released more of them.
I got to a full 90% of my brain. I saw through time.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
You thought you saw through time. It's probably very convincing for you. But on the outside, you're an idiot.
Everybody else saw a guy leaning over a park bench puking into some bushes.
Can I go back to the 10% of your house analogy?
Well, actually, I like that analogy because this is the next part of the, this is the science part of why that's bullshit.
Yeah.
And that analogy works perfectly.
Yeah.
Because think of a brain like your house.
Yeah.
You spend a lot of money renting it out.
Or owning it, maybe.
Or owning it.
Maybe there's some rich people.
I mean, look,
to this
Ivan, you own your house and you have your hunting dogs by the fireplace.
Yeah, of course.
With your no fangling.
I paid a lot of money to have the city change the name of my house to Winterfell.
Very expensive. Very yep. expensive stuff.
Yep.
So this house that you own
mm-hmm.
costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
Right? And you definitely are using only one room of it right now. We're in your grand reading room.
Yeah.
Okay.
My study.
But you use the bedroom at other times.
Yeah.
And you use the bathroom lots of times.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you can't be in all of your house at the same
sure.
time.
Yeah. So in the same way, but that and that's also because like they say how basically what it comes down to is people mistook a lot of stats about the brain and then just conflated it into a bigger thing.
Yeah.
So for example, it's not an exact percentage. Either. It's not 10% of your brain is lit up at any one time.
Yeah.
But they talk about like gray and white matter in your brains and how a lot of it is insulation for the nerves.
Mm-hmm.
So then they're like, oh, okay, well then all that insulation doesn't count as your total brain use. It's like, no, it's very important. You definitely need it there. You don't use the inside of your walls, but you definitely need the insides of your walls.
Yeah, you need to stay warm.
Exactly. So that still counts towards total use.
Yeah, the air in the tires of my car doesn't really do anything.
If I could access all that area inside my car, I could store more things.
Yeah.
No, you just have a worse car.
That needs to be there.
Yeah.
That's a part of it.
Not to mention the fact that, like, with the house analogy, you're paying for a lot of that house.
Yeah.
Okay? Same thing with our brains. Nutritionally and in terms of oxygen consumption, we use about 20% of our energy on keeping our brains going.
Yeah.
So if you could imagine not using 90% of this thing that's super expensive, that's like you only using the grand vestibule in your house.
Well, it is my favorite room.
Yeah, but you wouldn't get to, I'm saying you don't get to go to any of the other ones, but you have to pay for them all.
Yeah, it's a dumb, it's like one of those science things that people just latched onto.
Yeah.
Like another good example of that, this is sort of off topic a little bit, but it's
here we go.
The same sort of thing, is the tongue taste zones.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That was like another common one that
yeah.
was never proven. It was like half a study that somebody was just like, pretty sure the tongue, like sour and sweet, it's all like different zones on your tongue. And then they just put it into a bunch of textbooks.
Yeah.
And I remember having a science book as a kid that was like, you can test the different taste zones on your tongue. Sprinkle salt around your tongue in whichever part the salt tastes saltier is probably the salt tasting
part. That's probably
part.
Your salt spot.
And then I remember doing that and being like, it all tastes the same amount of salty no matter where it is on
so
my tongue.
So as a child, you out-scienced the science book, but
yeah.
maybe you hadn't even,
yeah.
like I wouldn't have noticed.
I wasn't, but at the time I was, you know, I'm a kid, I'm not good at critical thinking. So at that point I was just like, well, I must be wrong. Maybe my tongue is broken.
I must be wrong and sinful. My tongue is broken.
Yep. Better go burn it on some curling irons. More
than
one.
You didn't do that, right?
No.
Okay. You look fine. You
yeah.
look like you have an unburned tongue.
Yeah. Yeah, it was still pretty good. Still
I remember
good
that.
Tasting.
I bet some of my science textbooks are like
oh.
in the basement in Calgary. I'm going to go look at those
so
when I go back for Christmas.
Still have the tongue tasting zones.
For sure. And that was, and like you said, that was never true.
It was just
it
published
was
in one
point.
Book, and then everybody was like, oh yeah, this? We'll put that in every school curriculum ever.
You know what it is? It's weird because we latch onto things that sound great and common sense.
Yeah, if they're simple
yeah.
and easy to grasp, people will be like, okay, yeah, 10%
yeah.
of your brain. That sounds about right.
And then here's my other beef I've about this.
Tell me about your other beef.
What the hell do we think people are going to do with 90% more of their brains? Is that so? It's like, man, if I could just access a bit more of my brain, that's probably why I don't work out, because I'm not using 100% of my brain. Like, is it special powers?
I don't know.
Lucy,
like, are people thinking like telekinesis?
That's what I'm thinking. But I have a very basic fundamental science problem with telekinesis.
Which is?
Here it is. Ready? How does it work? Nobody has explained to me how, if we unlock a bunch of our brain, how telekinesis is a thing that
force?
Could happen. Yeah. It's like
theoretically.
Oh, here we go.
Like if I had to theorize about how telekinesis would work, it would have something to do with electrical impulses and electromagnetic fields.
Okay.
So basically, like Magneto from the X-Men, he seems like the most reasonable because he can only telekinesis metal stuff.
But
and yeah, it's using just like your body generates an electric field,
right?
And then another electric field is generated in the opposite polarity, and then you can repel and attract things based on that.
I don't think that is real. No, I don't.
Well, of course not. It's dumb.
I don't think that it requires 90% more of brain. I think that requires like some sort of like an electric eel. Like we would need.
We would need different glands. Or we would also take an extraordinary amount of energy that the human body is incapable of.
We would basically be hummingbird people.
Yeah.
We'd be like, I've got telekinetic powers, but first I need to eat 700 pounds of sugar.
Yeah. Let me just eat this entire pancake breakfast for this whole city so that I can move this pen a little
bit. Yeah, exactly. Because that's the other thing is, what is the electromagnetic field?
Yeah.
And would it not mess around with your blood?
Yeah.
Because like MRIs, those big machine cancer whatever machines.
Cancer you know what whatever machines.
You know the cancer machines?
They're not. They that's just look inside science, your body.
Right. Yes. But those cancer. Are super powerful magnets.
Yeah.
And I've seen videos where people like throw chairs or like staplers into the MRI machine and it's on. Seems very irresponsible.
I know.
I really hope they aren't. That's
stupid
like an old one.
Kids.
Like, yeah, exactly. And those things just get torn to pieces. They just like bounce around inside the thing.
Yeah.
And the only reason it doesn't to us is because we don't have very much metal. But you have to like apparently you can't go in those things if you have like prison tattoos or tattoos with lots of metal in them.
Yeah. Or like lead. Pins in your.
Yeah. You have to tell people about. So. And that's just an MRI machine.
But it's also so it's certain metals, too. Like, if
The
pins are made of, like, aluminum or a less magnetic metal, then it's okay.
Right. But that's what I mean. Like, if you had 10% or 90% of your brain, whatever, and all of a sudden you can make an electromagnetic field.
Yeah.
Strong enough to move a car, it would probably tear your blood apart. I feel like the iron in your blood would just be like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, of course. Of course. You would just be... You would explode. You'd spontaneously combust.
And here's my follow-up to that.
Maybe that's what people are going to use 100%. What if
we just all catch fire?
We're like, we did it. 90% of the brain. Everyone's on fire immediately.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And the other thing about that is, like, if that was true, that we could read minds, which also doesn't make sense to me, and we could move stuff with our minds and all this stuff, why, over millions and millions of years of evolution... Would we have stopped being able to use that very, very powerful, advantageous thing?
Yeah. Like, it's never been beneficial to anybody?
So we were just like, let's lose it. The ability to move things around us, like predators even, like lift a cougar off the ground before it killed our family?
Yeah.
Nah, we don't need that.
Just
let's breed
it
out.
The sun. Yeah. That's a recessive gene.
That's a recessive gene for sure. Redheads, yes. But no people that can lift stuff with their minds.
Yeah.
We don't want any of those around.
Those are gone. Yeah, it's so, like, I don't know. Yeah, this whole idea of, like, what would you... I think the big one for me, if we're going to talk superpowers...
Yeah.
Have you seen the movie The One? That's, like, a really dumb...
Jet Li?
Yeah, where he's, like, he's killing the other versions of him in the parallel universes, and then he absorbs their power.
Oh, I kind of remember that.
Because the power... Your power is apparently split between you and all of the other versions of you in every other universe. So if you travel to other universes killing all the ones of you, then eventually you'll be more powerful.
Which
is stupid because in the multiverse theory, there's an infinite number of different universes. But in the movie, he kills like 362. And then they're like, you're the last two. It's like, oh, so there's 364 universes? Thought there was an infinite. It said it in the beginning of this movie.
I hope that they do... Like scientists, physicists do more work on the multiverse theory, and they find out that there's three.
There's just one, two, and three. Yeah, and ours is the middle child one.
Yeah.
that doesn't get any attention.
It's like a little bit too aggressive, and it's pretty smart, but it's not that smart.
Yeah,
it's like, well, we're the okay universe.
Yeah, we're pretty good.
Black holes is like a weird thing. We're like, you guys don't really, you shouldn't have those.
But
you're the middle child.
The idea of that, like, higher brain use is just enhanced perception. So, like, almost like Spidey sense.
Right.
Like Spider-Man's. Which I think out of all of the superpowers in comic Spidey sense seems like the most reasonable.
I think so. Because we all have that. It's like an intuition thing.
Yeah.
Which is like having better peripheral vision than others.
Yeah, and just like knowing like when someone's behind you. It's like, someone's about to, this bus is about to crash.
I better not get in front of it.
Yeah.
Spidey sense.
But then it's also all the things that like people attach to the idea of sort of mind reading or, a premonition, like the ability to see through time. Things like deja vu or, you know, when you see stuff. I don't know. Deja vu is my only example. Things like deja vu and
being able to see stuff ahead of time. Oh, man.
Yeah, but deja vu has also been, has that been explained scientifically? I feel like it has.
Ooh. I think so.
Has it had a definitive? Because I have it occasionally.
Can I just throw out some pretend science?
Sure.
Like, I'm going to tell you what I think.
What do you think, deja vu?
And then maybe we'll look this up later.
Yeah.
We'll come back. Let's do a, we'll do deja vu episodes from now.
Episode. Yeah.
Okay. Here's what I think, though. And we're going to find out if I'm right. In fact, guys, email us if I'm right or wrong.
Yeah.
Email us anyway. Can somebody send us some emails?
Yeah, we don't get any emails. No one likes us.
Here we go. Here we go. Deja vu. What I think it is, oh boy, I'm going to get in trouble in a second. What I think it is your brain. We have short-term memory, medium-term, and long-term memory.
Yeah.
So what I think it is your memory circuitry at some point is writing something from your short into your medium-term memory.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's just, you know, there's a few, it's happening, whatever the event is, you're like a bus is pulling up and you see a girl with a red dress and these perceptions are hitting you, but there's another part of your brain that's tasked with being consciously aware of these things.
Yeah.
And if it's even just a second behind because of something, just whatever, just your wires are a bit crossed today or something, that your consciousness kind of processes that a second later. And then your brain is like, oh, I've seen this image already. And you're like, yeah, your eyes just sent it to you.
I don't feel like that's even close.
Okay, here's what happened. I started talking about medium-term memory and stuff getting written in your memory. I bailed a minute and 10 seconds into that.
So you think deja vu is because your brain like is behind on your eyes?
Here's the thing. Your awareness of it. Because there are things that happen, like we have a pretty slow reaction time compared to, say, a computer that could react a lot faster.
Well,
we
made computers, so kind of we get it.
We get it. But we've made them to be a lot faster.
It wasn't for us.
And we even have faster reaction times. Like if you touch a hot stove, your hand will pull away from the stove before you're aware. Only like a millisecond before.
Yeah.
That's because of the peripheral nervous system. It'll like send a signal to your spine that's like, hey, this is way too hot for my hand, sir.
Yeah.
And the signal's going to your spine and up the spine to your brain. But as soon as it hits your spine from your hand, a signal goes straight back into the muscles saying, pull the hand away.
Yeah.
While the signal of what's going on is still traveling to your brain.
Hmm.
So you become aware of it, but you've already pulled your hand away. And it's because that evolved because our brains are too slow. You would already have burnt your hand just a little bit longer if you didn't have your sort of nervous system reacting like really quickly.
And you're just like, something. Does anybody smell something?
Yeah. And your brain would have to do like cartoony. Four things. You'd be like, okay, first of all, where's my hand? Okay, it's extended. It's on something hot. Second of all, is hot good? No, hot is bad.
Yeah.
Third of all, what do I need to do? Well, I should probably retract my hand.
Yeah.
It's too late. It's melted to the element.
Yeah. It's attached. Well, that's like with the electric shocks. They always say, like, you should never, if you're going to test something and see if it's electric, which you should never just
touch
it. Yeah,
well, you're about to tell me some weird stuff here.
But, like, if you think a wire is live, approach it with the back of your hand. Because if it shocks your nerves into flexing,
you won't
close around it.
Right.
Because that's the thing with wires. Sometimes people go to grab them and they touch it with the palm of their hand and that shocks their nerves into closing the hand around the wire and then they can't let go.
Which it seems like whose job is it, first of all, that doesn't know if
just,
the wire is
go
live?
Ahead, go grab that wire. Hey, we don't know if this wire is live or not. We don't have any equipment to test it.
Okay, do you have any gloves then? Or what do you want me to do?
spray this water on your hand and go rub it on it.
Is the water so that just to keep my hand clean or?
Yeah. Yeah, make sure you clean your hand.
Does water taste salty? Is this just from, is this water full? Yeah.
Saline solution?
Spray that saline solution all over your hand and then touch that wire.
So nobody uses the full.
That's my New York guy.
People, so what you're saying is people are using, yeah, we use our whole brains.
Oh, absolutely. And
everything's there for a purpose.
Everything's there for a purpose. We use parts of it at different times and all over the place. It's like lighting up all the time.
Yeah.
That's not to say that as soon as you wake up, the whole thing is going. Mm-hmm. But it's all, and it's not exactly like a house. It's not like in the morning, you only use the front part of your brain for an hour.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's like second to second, millisecond to millisecond. Things are just lighting up left, right, and center.
Yeah. But it's not like there's this whole 90% of our brain that's just this hidden Scrooge McDuck vault of superpowers.
No. And the thing that you can prove that, the nastiest way to prove it to somebody is, okay, no, I don't want to go that way. That was a terrible thing to say.
What, stab them in the brain?
So I was going to say, destroy a part of their brain that they don't think they use.
Yeah.
And they'll lose certain abilities. And I think it even comes down to, because people say, like, you got the temporal lobe, and that's responsible for that. And the left brain is responsible for art, and the right brain. But people have problems in their brains, or they lose chunks of it, and then other parts of their brains power up and shift slightly to take over.
Yeah, the brain is such an interesting thing when it comes to connections. The sort of sad part of it is it is on a very kind of use it or lose it basis. When you form neuron pathways from joining certain synapses, like when you learn to do something like hand-eye coordination, for example,
sure.
When it's like, oh, I'm really bad. Like when you're playing the guitar, your hand, when you practice, those muscle movements are then being connected to the synapse,
right.
Or the synapses are causing connections, which makes it easier for you to do that and forming that reaction time. But if you don't do it for a long time, those pathways are going to go away, and that's why you kind of get rusty or you're not as good at stuff.
Yeah, well, it's probably, linked to your memory, I assume, as well, and to your muscles.
Well, it's just that instead of the neurons being able to fire directly to each other, those pathways, they go away because they haven't been used.
Yeah.
So then they have to take a sort of a longer route, and that's why things just get a little bit more difficult.
Well, I mean, and to me, that's what comes back to the exact reason why it can't possibly be true that you have a bunch of your brain that you're not using.
Yeah.
Because we aren't these big ships where you find, like, a hidden cargo hold full of gold. You're like, why haven't I been spending all of this gold?
Man. I'm only using 10% of my boat.
Yeah, it's like you learn how to use your whole, not even learn how to, I mean, you're born needing to use a lot of your brain. I assume all of it. But you learn how to shape it in certain ways.
Yes.
But you have to use, like, evolutionarily, it makes no sense not to use the whole thing to survive as long as you can.
And also, it's as far as people go, they're like, oh, man, I wish I could unlock more of my brain. You want to do that? Just do a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Learn to play the saxophone. Become an artist.
Oh, man.
Just a whole bunch of difficult things.
Who was I talking to? We're talking about Tim Minchin, this comedian who's so brilliant on the piano. He's this piano genius, like an actual genius on the piano. And we started talking about, man, he's so talented. He's just so like, and I think a lot of people, and I think that's why we think there's 90% of our brain that we don't use and that some people must be different than you. It's because. Because
you're lazy.
Because you're lazy. Exactly. Because we like to think that there are such things as talent out there, like people that are just so much better. Like, I can't be that piano player because he's got something different.
There are people that are born with certain natural abilities.
I think they're affinities, though.
You and I are hilarious. Not everybody is as funny as us.
Yeah, but I developed that by being bullied a bunch.
Yeah, I feel like that kind of came from that as well. But I mean, it's not developed specifically from that, but it also, I think that helps.
Yeah.
You sort of.
I mean, you're right. Like, I was always a bit of an idiot.
It kind of goes back to the use it or lose it, but also, like, you enjoy comedy. Like,
Yeah. That's what I was trying
to say. It's not like people who are getting bullied that don't like comedy movies are just going to like comedy. I guess I better become a comedian.
Well, I think everybody, especially in high school, fills a niche that they think they can fill early on to help them get along better.
Exactly, and you use those neuron pathways and you sort of forge that. And then whatever you were good at, whatever you started doing and using then is probably what you're going to be naturally good at later in life.
And I think that the main reason for that has nothing to do
Or sure, there's a little bit, there's an affinity towards things. Like Tim mentioned, probably has a very musical mind. Like he can really hear the meter of a song, or he can really hear notes.
Yes.
Naturally, sure. But it's the same thing with 90% of your brain. We like to think that there's something that doesn't require effort that makes these people amazing.
Well,
but
that's
it's like,
everybody's...
You know, he plays like 8 hours a day for like since he was like four.
Yeah, of course.
Like, that's why he's
that's
really
why
good
he's
at
gonna
it.
Be good.
You're good at comedy, at stand-up comedy, because you've been doing it for 8 hours, or for 8 hours, for 5 minutes a day.
There's more.
For 8 years.
5 minutes a day. Yep, I just wake up in the morning, do a quick
5 minutes of comedy.
Set in the shower.
A tight five in the shower.
Yeah.
That's what I call it.
Tight five in the shower. Gross. Let's try to keep this clean. Yeah, but I mean, that's the thing, is it's just all based around what you do with your brain.
Yeah.
And it's going to get better at stuff. That's the great thing about the brain.
Yeah.
Is it's not just a boat with a hidden thing in it.
Yeah.
And you have to just find the thing.
Yeah.
You have to use it for stuff, and it'll get better at doing that stuff.
Yes.
And
yeah,
nobody
absolutely.
Wants to put in the effort to do things. Like,
no,
it's
well,
such
that's,
a crazy thing.
That's why that myth, I think, exists, is because like people are just hoping. It's the same thing as like hoping that somebody comes along with $1 million at some point in your day.
Yeah, the lottery.
And it's like, are you able to do something with this for me?
It's all the lottery.
Yeah.
That's why the Nigerian prince scandal worked so well. finally, my ship has come in.
I don't know how he found my email, but I'm glad he did.
Yeah. Because they always tell, like, tell old people, too, to, like, make sure you maintain, you do stuff. I think this will be a very interesting generation, because our generation will be kind of the first full generation of old people that play video games, which I think is probably really good.
I think it's good for your brains, yeah.
Cognitive.
But you know what?
What?
We're also the first generation that wastes, like, like maybe 30 hours a week on cat pictures and Facebook.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. We're all pretty atrophied, like physically.
That's what I'm wondering about. Like, are we atrophied physically? Sure, but our brains are, or are they like better, stronger brains?
I don't know. I feel yeah.
We communicate a lot faster.
We communicate faster,
than
but
we
we're
ever
also
used to.
Bored a lot faster. We require a lot more stimulus to stay attentive. It's like the difference between. I would like to see if there was a study done between like. Average attention span of an audience, like doing an hour of stand-up comedy 20 years ago as opposed to an hour of stand-up comedy today.
Or, for instance, you watch like Bill Cosby sets or whatever where he sits in a chair for 2.5 hours.
Yeah, but they're still amazing.
That's true. That's true.
He can still hold your attention. So, yeah, maybe it's the same.
I mean, speak for yourself. I saw a Bill Cosby set and, like, don't get me wrong, he's a genius. I'm loving watching him.
Yeah.
But, like, halfway through, I was like, this is great. Hey, how much... longer
yeah.
is this story going to be?
Yeah.
And I wonder, yeah, maybe because I'm part of the badger.
People are very unwilling to wait. Like,
yeah.
It's another thing that happens a lot with stand-up. It happened last night twice at both shows I went to where somebody is on their way to a punchline. They introduce an idea.
Oh, no.
And they're just like, because of this. And then they're working their way to the punchline. But people can't take the suspense. They can't wait in the tension. They have to yell. They gotta yell. I gotta break this.
That's what I was worried you were gonna say.
Yeah, and
hecklers.
I think that that's. But it's funny because it's not even people don't even think that that's heckling. They're just like, I'm really excited about this.
I'm participating.
But they're like, I gotta keep this pace up, or I'm gonna lose my attention. So they have to be.
Yeah.
Have to sort of shout and get involved with
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So maybe our brains have become, you know. Addicted to stimulus, which I think will be a very interesting thing if there ever is like a societal collapse and everybody loses kind of the media that surrounds them all the time.
There was a...
What would people replace? Like, would we all just be holding a rock and then we just take out this rock and look at it every 5 seconds?
You know what? I think a lot of us would become... I mean, maybe I'm being too negative, but I think a lot of us become very violent. You know
what
I mean? Like, we would just be so antsy. We'd be like, this is crazy. I'm going to fight.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you could put that energy towards stuff other than fighting.
I hope we do.
Yeah.
I'm worried we wouldn't. Oh, I don't know. I don't want to get talking about the world problems and all the people that
That's
are violent.
That's always
right
what
now.
This I've noticed there's a theme. We always will go back to the fact that humans are going to invent robots that will take over the world. I think that's pretty much our apocalypse theory.
Like, absolutely.
We're going to give birth to the next generation of species on this planet, and it's not going to be... It'll be like a human hybrid... with some sort of cybernetic.
How many episodes ago was that? We discovered in our conversation that we are not the civilization that makes it to tier one.
Well, that
or
was
even
Carl
tier
Sagan,
two. Well, Carl Sagan said that whole thing.
Yeah.
But We had that. Yeah, we were talking about how we're not even a level one or a tier one civilization.
No.
We're going to make the first one, though.
We will.
And robots.
They'll be well,
the robots.
They'll be like a half and half. It'll be like a liquid computer. It'll be like a bowl of soup.
It'll be like us. Yeah, us, but with CPUs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. I'm down.
Like the Borg.
And I mean, yeah, no, that doesn't count as unlocking more of your brain. That's
what,
plugging stuff into your brain.
Yeah. But I don't even know what that would do. Like, that's the other thing is, like, what would happen if you...
Yeah.
Has that already...
What?
...happened?
No. We don't have data.
Are you
from
sure?
Star Trek. We don't have them around.
No, no. Like, isn't there a thing where you can, like, plug a, like, memory card into your brain?
What?
Download some of your memories.
What?
Is that out yet?
Okay, here's my question. This is my follow-up question about that.
Because I wouldn't be that surprised.
No, I'm not letting you off the hook here. Did you read somewhere that this was a thing? Or did you wake up one morning and be like, yeah, I think I know how that would work, and then just assume that it exists?
No, I think it's just one of those things where I think somebody heard... Like, it's one of those things that...
Like a friend of yours told you.
If somebody told me that that existed, I wouldn't be surprised.
I would be very surprised. Because, like, how would that work?
I guess, yeah, it's software language. Like, we wouldn't know how to... We discover that our brains are just MS-DOS. We just, like, Independence Day the whole situation.
We just had no idea the whole
time.
Yeah,
everybody's brain runs on Windows 95. We didn't even know.
Turns out it's crazy simple.
Yeah.
We were really, in the 2000s, we really thought the brain was complex.
We cracked the Fibonacci code.
Turns out it's just DOS.
It's just MS-DOS. The worst programming language ever.
Was it?
It was pretty bad. DOS was like this, I forget the exact story, but it was like something to do with like Bill Gates bought it from some guy in Britain, and it was like this garbage program.
Oh boy.
And then he just like, this is the one! We're using it for everything!
Oh no.
And then since then... That's why there's still, like, anybody who's, like, really into computers will be like, Windows is the worst. I use, like, Ubuntu or, like, all these other ones.
Yeah, all the Linux stuff.
Yeah, Linux, like, more simple programming. Whereas DOS is just, like, layers and layers and layers. Which is why when they did, like, the most recent Windows, they had to redo.
They went back.
Yeah.
To the start menu.
Yeah.
Listen, Science Us, you guys don't want to know about the start menu on the Windows thing.
You know you only use 10% of your computer.
You know what? That might be true, though, obviously.
Sure.
For obvious reasons.
Sure.
But that's not to say that the 90% of your computer that doesn't have info in it is
this
full
is sort
of like,
good,
really great stuff.
A good kind of example of the use it or lose it thing about
the computer?
Your neuron pathways. Yeah, because you know how, like... When you've owned a computer for like 2 or 3 years,
sure.
Our brain has to be around for a long time, all right?
Yeah.
I don't really know if there's studies or estimations done on how many gigabytes of data our brain holds or whatever
I have
it is.
Idea, yeah.
But if you, like, even having a computer for 2 years, your hard drive will just fill up and you won't even know where it came from.
Right.
You're just like, I'm trying to delete stuff, but it just keeps getting full.
You got to reformat all the time to keep it clean. That's what I do. Yeah. I don't know if that's a use it or lose it. I think that's kind of like a use it and lose it situation.
But that's our brain has that in place so that doesn't happen to our brain.
Oh, right.
Can you imagine if you just had all these like garbage memories that are like, I can't remember anything because I remember that time I crumpled up that chocolate bar wrapper and put it in my pocket for a day and then I found it again later and was like,
I
better throw it out.
We kind of mimic that in computers a bit, but that's our short, medium, and long-term memory. Like there's a lot of stuff in your short-term memory. Like, you know, people drive to work and then don't even remember driving to work.
Yeah, I do
and
that
like,
all
oh my
the
God,
time.
Did I fall asleep? And it's not that you were asleep. Your brain was doing its thing, but you've done it so many times that your brain didn't store any of that information.
Yeah.
It was like it was a dumb ride to work. I don't need that
memory.
Well,
if things that don't change, your brain learns to ignore.
Right.
Like the rods and cones in your eyes are actually in front of the retina, which is what...
What?
Takes in the information. Yeah, like if your eyes were just seeing everything,
right?
You would look like you were looking through a fence. Because they're actually in front. The rods and cones.
I don't get it.
Okay.
Aren't the...
they're in front of... They're blocking light.
Yeah, but aren't they the things that pick up the... Uh-oh.
Yeah.
We're going to need an eye expert.
They take that information in.
Yeah.
And then they send it. To the brain as well.
Right.
But the actual, like, full-on image with light, the light receptor, is actually behind those.
Oh.
that creates the image.
Weird.
So if you could see them, if you could see everything, but they've never moved, so your brain just learns to ignore them.
I kind of ignore my nose a lot.
Yeah, it's another one.
Except for right now. I've got like a zit on it.
Unless there's a zit on it.
But you guys can't see that.
See it all the time.
Why did I bring it up? Why did I bring it up on radio? Like to,
yeah, to everybody that was listening, they're like, man, Peter's got a handsome face. And then
he sounds so
gross.
Handsome.
I got a gross face.
What's wrong with his face?
That's okay. My face is covered in snakes right now. There's so many snakes on it.
Which, honestly, when I got here to your boudoir with your dogs and your fireplace,
we're in my vestibule.
The vestibule.
My
or
study.
The grand library.
The grand study vestibule.
I was off put by the snakes on your face. I'm used to it now. Because they haven't moved for a while, so I'm ignoring them.
They're asleep. I gotta stay really still. If I get too excited, they start biting my neck.
Which do you think is going to be the first scientist? What field is going to be the first one to contact us and be like, hey, you guys got to stop.
You're wrong about all this stuff. I feel like that eye thing was a little loose.
I hope it's not an optometrist that is the first type
that
of
was,
scientist.
That was that information, though, that I read that in a children's science book when I was about 12 and just remembered it from then. So I don't think that...
Which is funny because you were just talking about garbage memories.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's not one of them.
Maybe that's one of them. It's just those are the things that stick with me. I'm like, oh, that's a neat little piece of information.
I want like a geneticist or a physicist to come on to be the first scientist who's like, you guys got to not do this. And I want them to come on and pick apart complex things we got wrong. Not just like basic stuff that you're like...
Yeah, like, well, I'm sure anybody really that's listening to this that's a scientist is like, yeah, you're kind of right, but here's all the things that are dumb about you and your life.
I think a scientist listening to this is not thinking you're kind of right, but I think they're thinking... I can tell that you want to be right.
Yeah. You want to sound right.
I understand why you're saying this, because you want to be right. But Ivan, if you could have, I'm not saying more brain power. Let's leave that alone. 100% of your brain. Fine. But if you could have an organ that gave you superpowers, you know what I mean?
Like the musical instrument?
No, like... like the...
Like I play the organ and then it's like a pipe organ?
Like the electro...
It's like Doctor Who,
the electromagnetic field.
Like the TARDIS,
thing.
But it's a...
Yes.
It's a pipe organ?
If you could have a pipe organ, a time-traveling pipe organ. No, here's what I want to ask you. If you could have a superpower...
Yeah.
And your body, and it has... Like, you gotta have to defend it. If you could have a superpower, what would it be? And how do you think it would work... Actually, like, what parts of your body would you need different parts of?
All right, I think I kind of understand the question, but it's very...
Listen, I'm on a lot of cold medicine.
You're trying to feed me a lot of, like, I feel like there's only one answer that you want.
I found a path full of just really sharp, sharp plants, and I'm just trying to push you down it.
Yeah.
I just want to see what happens.
So... You want me to say, like, I want to be able to shoot electricity, and it would be like whatever's in an electric eel, something like that.
Oh, now you made it sound so dumb. I thought it was going to be way more clever.
No, if I could have a superpower, I've maintained, this is a conversation that guys have all the time. We've
Absolutely.
Been having this conversation since we were 11, and it's always like, you can't be everything proof, that's not allowed. You know, that was always like the, when you're six.
You want to be everything proof?
No, I don't want to be everything proof, but it's all, you know, you have to have a superpower that has, it's not too ridiculous, you know,
right.
Like Superman, where you're just like unbeatable, the best at everything. Mine would be, like the guy from Heroes, stop time ability.
Ooh.
So you can just like pause time and then but you can move freely while the world is paused.
That's pretty sweet.
And then you could just like, I don't know, fix stuff, like stop something from falling. Like if someone drops a glass.
I
just want to have like really low level heroic moments.
You know what? I did not. Yeah. You just want a very convenient superpower.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, I'm going to miss that bus. Or am I?
Pew. Pause the world. And then walk.
Run a couple. Might as well just go to work. You might as well just walk to work.
Because I also like, I hate waiting in line though. So I feel like maybe pausing time would just make my life even more. It would take me even longer to get through the day. Like, I hate waiting so much. It's probably my least favorite.
Right, but, like, you don't, you mean you'd have to keep, just don't pause time while you're in line.
Yeah.
That'd be the worst.
Yeah.
But.
Or just pause time and then just, like,
pause time when
kill
you get...
everybody that's ahead of me. And then unpause and be like, who killed all these people? I'd be like, I don't know, but I'm next.
Okay, so everybody dies, everybody falls over, and then you're like, whoa, that's crazy. Can I get a grande?
Yeah, we just need to serve this guy. We're not going to call the ambulance or anything about all these people that just mysteriously...
Everybody's freaking out. I was like, okay, the manager's going to call 911. What would you like to order? We're just going to get your food.
See?
We've got to, like, society's got to keep going.
The system works.
The system works.
I think that's why I'm, like, not suited to be an actor, because, like, waiting to audition is probably the worst.
Waiting to audition is the, is just terrible, because you just sit there looking at very beautiful versions of yourself.
Yeah.
Questioning why you're doing any of this.
Oh, man. Everybody here is more, you just like, you just convince yourself that you're the worst.
And there's no
every
good,
way.
There's no good audition room. Like there's no, the waiting rooms, if everybody's out there and they're all quiet, it's awkward and terrible.
Yeah.
And if everybody's trying to talk to each other, it's even worse
because you're
like,
trying to focus.
What projects are you working on?
Yeah, they're all just good. And they're all friends and they all know, like, yeah, did you see Catherine's latest thing on the thing? She was in that thing and I was telling that thing.
Yeah, I got a short film about
talking to Chad about how I've got another thing working on in August and probably going to Brazil to shoot a thing for a Bacardi.
Bacardi. But they're not even that successful. It'll be like, my friend runs an indie cardboard box film festival where all the props are cardboard boxes.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I made a short feature for that.
Yeah, I was
those two words don't go together.
Short feature. Yeah, so like if that was the situation that I was in,
and you stop
I would
time.
Stop time.
Yeah.
And then I would like take that guy's script and headshot and resume and just rip it up. And then go over to the book where he's, like, signed in, and then just, like, cross that out so that they would just never call his name, and he would have to spend his entire day just waiting and never being called. Because the other thing about the actors in that room is, like, they're too scared to, like, they don't want to cause a big thing. So no one is ever going to be like, hey, am I up next or what? Like, no one's going to do that.
I think
they're all just going to sit there forever.
Yeah.
And if you never call them, they'll just die of old age.
It sounds like if you had a superpower, you would just be a villain immediately.
Of course! Come on! You have a superpower, you're not going to use it for personal gain? Get out of here.
Oh, personal gain, yes, but you don't have to do it at the other's expense. Like, your freezing time and fucking with that guy was... Sorry, messing with that guy.
That's okay.
Was only to his...
Yeah, well,
deficit. Like,
so,
you're only hurting him.
Yeah, but then I'm great. Like, I feel good about it.
Oh, my God.
We're going to talk about the morals. I only use 10% of my morals.
That, I believe. That, there is some science behind now.
Yeah.
People only
use
10%
of
their morals.
10% of my morals.
Or awareness.
No, I'm a very moral person. I find it very difficult to do... I know I talk about it, but I find it hard to do bad things. Like, I have that lady that... I was in a hit and run yesterday.
You were?
You
didn't tell me about that.
Oh, yeah. This person backed into my Vespa. This is a lot of Vespa problems.
You have a lot of Vespa problems.
So she backed into it. She tipped it over, scratched up the side, broke the headlight. But I saw her do it, and then she just drove away. And then I like had to run after her. And finally, she stopped at a stop sign. I did the whole like run up and bang on the window like, hey, stop. You just knocked over him, and then she was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And I was like pretty close to just being like, you know what? Don't worry about it.
Oh no.
But then I was like, no, that's not, I can't do that. Like I feel like a bad guy for not even being bad. Like I'm actually just doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
So you almost let her get away with, did she just apologize? And then you're like, okay, bye.
No, I said you left the scene of an accident. And she's like, oh, was there any damage? I'm like, of course there was damage. You tipped over a motorcycle, essentially, except it's not really a motorcycle. Then I just called it and reported it as a hit and run, and then they just, you give them their license plate, ICBC tracks them down, calls them, and then she was like, yep, it was my fault. So she admitted 100% liability, so then I just get it fixed without having to pay anything.
So wait, so but sure, you told them it was a hit and run? Doesn't she get in more trouble for that?
Probably.
I guess it was kind of a hit and run.
It was a hit and run. Like, I'm not going to just be like, oh, because I ran after you and tracked you down, it's okay. Like, we're going to exchange information now. No, you still left the scene of an accident, and I had to vigilante chase you. She's like, should I give you my phone number? I'm like, no, I got your license plate. I'm reporting this as a hit and run.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And then she, so you told her that? You're like, I'm reporting it as a hit and run, peace.
Yeah.
And then what did she do? She was just like, bye. Like, okay,
she was like,
bye.
Okay. Well, she said, the reason why she said she tipped it over is because she's like, I'm going to hurry. Because she also admitted to seeing it get tipped over. She's like, she backed into it, knocked it over, didn't pick it up, didn't stop, didn't
listen,
even know.
Listen, I'm in a real rush.
She's like, oh, yeah, I saw that happen, but I'm kind of in a hurry. I'm like, what? That's not, you can't just damage someone's property and be like, oh, you're in a hurry? Well, sorry.
You know what superpower she needs is the, well, I was going to say the power to stop time so she's not in a rush everywhere.
But that is true. You would never be in a hurry if you could stop time.
I think the superpower she needs is to drive better.
Yeah. Well, or to just be like a civil person.
Yeah.
Leave a goddamn note if you tip over a motorcycle. Also, pick it up. Don't just leave it on its side. It's not supposed to be on its side.
It's where
the gas leaks out.
This is your home now. Cycle.
If anybody here is listening and you back into a motorcycle and tip it over. This has actually happened to me more than once. I had like the exact same with my other motorcycle that I rode, my Honda.
Yeah.
Same thing happened. Someone tipped it over and drove away. But fortunately, people saw it and reported, like somebody left a note on my bike saying like, hey, listen, I saw this happen.
Oh, that's the worst.
But then it was great because I just tracked him down and then like, you just can't do it. And then ICBC just goes like, yeah, you're an idiot. And then I just get it fixed for free.
There, do we have the episode, did it go up, about driverless cars? Because like, this is all just, it should be tagged on to this episode.
Yeah, of course.
It should just be like, guys, driverless cars. They're just going to be so much better than humans.
I know. They get into an accident. They just, it's like a, but the problem is with driverless cars is there's like the forklift situation, which is like if you're driving a forklift in a factory and you get into any amount of like little bump, turns off, like you can't drive it, and then it just starts making like a screaming sound.
Really?
Until your supervisor comes over to assess the damage. So you can't just like break something and then just like continue with your day.
So they have programmed forklifts to just tell on you immediately.
Exactly. They just tell on you. Forklifts are like a real snitch.
Forklifts are like really strong toddlers. Like you're just like, you can get them to do stuff, but if you hurt them, they will just sit there and cry until their dad comes.
You bump into anything, it's like,
I really like, I like that idea. I like that people that work in factories are treated very much like guilty children who are wrecking stuff all the time.
Yeah, that's how we want to be treated.
All the equipment they need has to be alarmed.
Yeah.
Really just like, harbor a great sense of distrust for all your employees.
Yeah, that's very
important. Perfect. Oh, man.
Well, you know, you only use 10% of your employees.
It's true. It's almost true.
Although, I mean, I feel like most employees only use 10% of their workday.
And,
like, if I think back to some of the jobs that I've had, I really did not work.
That's what I'm talking about. What do we only use 10% of in real life?
Although, that's actually a thing that they say, it's like a little career success piece of advice.
What?
Which is, like, when you have a job, you should be using 10% of the time at that job to get a better job. Either in that company, like looking at other postings in order to move up the ladder, buttering up the boss, doing stuff in that sense.
Okay.
Or using the network that you have access to, like the fax machine, letterhead, things like that, to find other jobs that you can apply to in the same field to advance. So you're supposed to use 10% of your time at your job to get a better job.
Always be trying to move up.
Always be trying to move up, girl.
Rat race, girl.
Keeping up with the Joneses. The Jones sodas. Bubblegum soda.
The person at Jones Soda eventually found a job at Coca-Cola and moved on.
Yeah.
He was spending 15% of his time.
Yeah.
Okay, what else do we only use 10% for? Muscles. I think humans only use 10% of their muscles these days. Lots of sitting around.
Oh, yeah. I think if there was like a graph for people now, like how much they used, even their hands, it's like the thumb has really gone up as a digit that people need to use a lot. Like, because it used to be thumbs were just like, they press the space bar and they type. You type with your fingers.
I wonder if it went down, because thumbs were very useful early on.
Yeah.
Then we made a bunch of tools
And we do a bunch more tools, and then the thumb use went way down.
But thumb and hand was like one thing. But now it's like fingers are just kind of a cradle, and the thumb is doing all the work.
Oh, that's
like
true.
Phone or like video games. Like
maybe in like 100,000 years, all our fingers will just be one pad.
Yeah.
Phone shaped.
It'll look like a mitten.
And then we'll just have really long thumbs.
Now, we still need separate fingers because we need to use guns to kill each other.
Yeah, for now, though. But soon, there'll be a thumb interface for those.
Your guns will just be on your phone.
Yeah.
It'll be an app.
You'll just ask your phone to kill that person.
Yep.
But then it'll just start wailing until a supervisor comes over. Somebody was trying to kill somebody else. Yeah, my phone ratted me out.
Oh.
And I would have had him, too, if it wasn't for you pesky phones. Okay, well, conclusions?
We use all of our brain. That's why it's there.
I agree with that. All right, we're both on the same page.
Anybody that's listening is like, if anybody is like a neuroscientist that can tell us that we're wrong, maybe we do use 10% of our brain. Maybe that theory's coming back.
Oh, no. Dude, I do not want that neuroscientist on. Well, I mean, you know what? Yeah, if he's right, or she.
Yeah.
If she or he is right, then sure.
Yeah,
come
send
on.
Send us a message. Let us know.
I just don't think you're right, sir.
Sir or madam.
Yeah, you know what? We should get a brain scientist on here, though, one day. Because
oh, we will.
I think brain science would blow my mind a bit.
Yep, brain science is very cool.
So yeah, my conclusion is we got to stop believing that myth. And the tongue one, about the different taste sensors.
And if you want superpowers, you got to work for them.
Yeah.
You want to be a brilliant musician? Play music.
A lot.
Just do it a whole bunch.
Yep. You want to be real good at texting like me? I'm pretty fast on those keys. That's not a talent.
Well, no. You got like pretty uniquely shaped thumbs.
I do?
Yeah, they're really, you got a thin tip of your thumb.
Whoa, I do.
It's really good for dexterity.
Ew. I've never thought or looked at my thumbs before, but they do. They thin out at the tip.
Yeah.
That's weird.
But that's like an evolutionary advantage now for texting on a touch screen.
Texting does allow me more mates.
Yeah.
I've noticed.
All right, everybody.
Hey, thanks for listening.
Thank you for tuning in this week. I know this was a bit of a crazy one.
I love all 54 of you.
If you made it to the end and you're hearing this, congratulations.
Yeah, you did it.
Tune in two more episodes will be our live episode. It's going to be episode 10. And then from after that, we're going to start getting a professional, not a professional, but actual scientist guests.
Yes.
Every five or so episodes.
Yeah,
so
sure.
If you guys have any comments, suggestions, please send them to us.
Or if you just want to be on it.
Yeah.
Come on it and just try and beat us up with real science. And we're going to just throw you some jokes.
We'll just be the dumbest. ScienceHusPodcast@gmail.com or @ScienceHusPod on Twitter. I'm Ivan Decker.
And I'm Peter Carlone.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.